We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
People were saying we were trying aggressively to make a move into the top 10. Like, no team ever called me saying, hey, we want to move back there and anything like that. And I'm not calling up there, you know, a day ahead or whatever. That was all just smoke. Listen, you know me. If there was certain players that fell, we would have gone up. I did not want to give up our two, though. It would have had to just been something that just made way too much sense for me to give up that two, because it would have been really hard for us from the fours to get up that far. It's just the value of those picks start dropping dramatically.
Bills general manager Brandon Bean, late last night, early morning hours, explaining about the trade he made with the Kansas City Chiefs, the trade he made with the Carolina Panthers. The Bills go from 28 to 32, and then out of the first round completely. They now start off tonight's draft in the first round. We're going to talk about that and move it forward here in a little while. We're going to have Eric Wood just a moment. Let me reset tonight, though. Okay, here we go, Joe. Here's what they have. Round 2, round 3, round 4, round 5, round 5, round 5, round 5, round 6, round 7. Tonight, 3 picks, 2 twos and a 3. Tomorrow, a 4. 4 fives, a 6 and a 7. Out of the 10 picks they have, how many do they take? Like, how many picks do they actually make in this draft?
They will make, I'd set the over under at like 7.5.
Same thing Bulldog did, 7.5. I agree with you guys. I think that's a great number. I can't see 10, but you never know. I mean, this is a roster that is in transition. They've talked about getting, you know, players a little cheaper, a little bit younger. They may do that, but I can't see 10. We'll see about that. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase, thanks for hanging with us. Let's get to the Wester Hotline right now. Our guy Eric Wood is standing by. Eric, of course, former Buffalo Bills center, current color analyst on the Buffalo Bills radio network. All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot for joining us this morning. You're watching the draft like everybody else last night. What's going through your mind when you see on the screen or on social media that the Bills trade out of 28, and then what went through your mind when you saw it was the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have just a little bit of, you know, a little bit of bad memories. And when you look back at the Mahomes trade and what that became, and then obviously when the Chiefs jumped the Bills and took Legarius Sneed and the success that he's had, then you just – give them a lot of credit in these situations, then you assume, oh, gosh, this is going to be bad for the Bills. They're going to get up. They're going to take a guy that's going to make the Bills pay in the future, but you never know how all this is going to shake out. And to me, you know, the further I get removed from 15 years ago when I was drafted by the Bills, the more I realize that, you know, you got to trust your GM. And, you know, the Bills have one of the best GMs, one of the best front offices in the NFL. They're constantly having guys within their front office get poached by other regimes, whether that's for a head GM job or an assistant GM job, and lots of promotions coming out of this Bills front office. So you have to truly trust them. You have to trust that, you know, the Bills have built a successful organization over these last 7 years, And they spend all year, and yes, we spend a lot of time. I say we as media members now, and we as a fan base, one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL, we pay a lot of attention to the draft. We're kind of all consumed by the NFL all year long, and you have to trust that Brandon Bean and his team have a plan. They stuck to it, and whether it was guys maybe not falling to them or they simply knew that the capital to move up for maybe one of the guys that they identified as a first-round grade, which we heard being talked about last night, they didn't have 32. They didn't have 28 first-round grades, and so they were willing to move back to gain more capital. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Brandon Bean very aggressive and, you know, watching his press conference and listening to him last night, it would not surprise me to see him be very aggressive here on day two to add some guys that can be impact starters from day one.
They obviously didn't have a first-round grade on Xavier Worthy, or at least the 28-pick grade. They allow Kansas City, put in quotes, to draft him, and that's been a bit of the angst today, right, as you pointed out. The only way to truly block them, Eric, would have been to draft him yourself. As Bean points out last night, once they don't take Worthy, the Chiefs are going to get him probably. They're going to trade up to 29 or 30 or 31. But what would be your kind of philosophy on that's the team you're trying to chase, it's a rival, if we trade with them, they're going to get better? Like, because Brandon Bean didn't seem to care about that and said, we just got to do what's best for the Buffalo Bills.
Right. And yes, everybody in the NFL right now is chasing the Kansas City Chiefs. It's like when I was in the NFL and everyone was chasing the Patriots. Everyone's trying to build a roster right now to beat the Chiefs. You're also always trying to build a roster to win your division first and get into the dance and host home playoff games. But you can't take a guy like Xavier Worthy. If, you know, they spent a lot of time studying him in particular, knowing that that's probably one of the guys that's going to fall to that 28th pick. They spent a lot of time. They were comfortable letting him go to the Chiefs. If it pans out and he has a great career for the Chiefs, so be it. But you have to stick to your guns and not say, just because we know the Chiefs like this guy, that doesn't mean necessarily that we love this guy. And people get enamored with speed and, you know, what they saw Tyreek Hill do in Kansas City. But there's been a lot of guys that have run very fast 40 times at the NFL Combine that have not worked out. Now, can Andy Reid turn this kid into a superstar? Maybe, but the Buffalo Bills did not feel like at 28, Xavier Worthy coming into the organization was going to make the impact that they needed to invest that 28th pick and not get the extra draft capital. And so, you know, to me, yes, and I put it on Twitter yesterday that to me, if the Bills are going to stick at 28, Worthy is one of the guys that is appealing to me. Now, one of the guys that I also put was Ladd McConkey, who is still on the board. Mm-hmm. And there's still a lot of quality players that are still on the board. And so, no, I don't think you can make a decision. You can't use a first-round draft pick simply to block your AFC rival, you know, the defending Super Bowl champion, from getting said player.
Is what they did, both that this trade down we're talking about and then at 32, make you think receiver is any more or less likely at 33?
I mean, I think it's likely that one of these next two picks is going to be a receiver, and whether that's at 33, potentially moving back from there again. If they say, you know, if they got three guys that they kind of like about the same that are still on the board, whether that's Mitchell, whether that's McConkey, whoever that may be, for Franklin, if you got those three guys and you kind of rank them the same, do you move back again to get even more of this kind of day two draft capital? And, you know, I've heard it said a lot this offseason, and you could kind of hear it from Brandon Bean, that they think there are a lot of starters available in these first 2 days of the draft. They just didn't necessarily feel like they had 28 first-round grades on guys. So I think there's going to be a move for a receiver. I mean, you know, I had Sean McDermott on my Center Not Buffalo podcast yesterday. We recorded yesterday morning, and, you know, I asked him about the Bills, the Diggs trade, and as you expect from Sean, he's very confident in the group that they already have. But realistically, we can say it. Maybe Sean can't, but we can have this conversation now that, yes, the Bills are going to need to add pieces in that room, and I think we see that happen tonight.
Eric, they come out of this draft, though, even if they take guys. Like, I really like Ladd Bukonki. I agree with you. Take him. I like Javon Baker a lot. No matter what they do tonight, they're going to come out of this draft. They're still not going to have a number one wide receiver for 2024, at least. Maybe one of these guys develops in 2025. Is that a concern for you? And do you think they should shop around to look for one on an existing team?
Yeah, I would not be against them going out and looking. I would just be cautious of what that price is going to be, what it's going to do to the cap. You know, does it mess with your future success if you go after an Ayuk? I don't know if you can go get a Higgins from Cincinnati. I don't know that they would make that deal with the Bills, but you never know, because they're likely on just kind of a one-year deal with him if they can add draft capital down the road from the Bills to get Higgins over to the Bills. That would not surprise me. It doesn't scare me fully, just because of the success that we saw at the end of the season last year without Diggs truly putting up number one numbers, not even close to number one numbers, as they got hot in that five-game win streak to end the regular season and then making it to the divisional round, the playoffs, and coming close to beating the Chiefs in Orchard Park and going on to the AFC Championship game. So it's not a huge concern for me. I think you're always looking for weapons around him. You know, you see the Kansas City model over the last couple of years where Travis Kelce becomes essentially your number one, and then you have guys that play roles around him. I think you can have success doing that. But yes, I do feel that there's a need for another weapon. Does it at the receiver position, does it truly have to be one of the guys who you say, hey, this is our number one receiver? I don't necessarily think that's a necessity for this upcoming year, but there does need to be some extra talent added to that room.
How much too does the style is that important to you, in that they have, I mean, there's some crossover, right, between where Samuel plays and Shakir and Kincaid. It's a lot of middle of the field and shorter stuff. Is whoever they pick, this weapon that we're talking about, being someone that can stretch the field and primarily, I would think, do it from the outside?
Yeah, I think there is a need for that in some capacity, whether it's tonight in the draft, bringing someone in. Someone's going to have to prove that they can stretch the field. I think back to, this might not be a great example, but when you talk about field stretchers, when Kyle Orton took over for E.J. Manuel, when Doug Marone was with the Bills, Marquise Goodwin, I don't even know if he was active for all of our games at that point. It especially didn't play a serious role. And when Kyle Orton took over, he said, give me Marquise Goodwin on the field, and I want him playing X amount of snaps. And even if I don't throw him the ball down the field, I want him in these certain packages and these certain route structures simply to run down the sideline, because they have to respect his speed on the outside. That's going to manipulate safeties. That's going to manipulate how they can play defense. Because of that, that's going to open up zones. That's going to open up different areas and what I want to do within the structure of the offense. And so, you know, I think back to that time, and, you know, that was a kind of a clear-cut moment for me from a veteran quarterback stepping in. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that Kyle Orton's Tom Brady or Josh Allen or whoever else, but there is value in having a guy that you say, okay, we can only run certain defenses. We have to have our safeties in certain positions if this guy is in this position. And I think there's tremendous value in that. And I say all that, I don't know that that's worthy last night. Yes, he could take the top off the defense because of his speed, but I haven't seen him make a ton of plays down the field at Texas. For me, a lot of what was appealing was, you know, some of the underneath stuff that using that speed, he could take it to the house.
Eric, there's a lot of fans who still think that this team should look at Jackson Powers Johnson, center from Oregon. And because they moved on from Mitch Morse, I have people tweeting me today like, well, they still got to find a replacement. I think someone actually tweeted me and you that about that. My answer is, well, what we know, their replacement is Connor McGovern. That's what we have been told, and the Bills are talking very much that Connor McGovern is going to be the starting center. David Edwards is starting left guard. They went out, they get Lael Collins to be a depth piece. I mean, how do you assess it? I don't think they should. I don't think they need to go out and get a center. I think it feels like they're comfortable with what they have. You're closer. You know Aaron Cromer, what he's done with the group, how they feel about him. How do you assess it all?
Yeah, I think they're in pretty good shape right now with McGovern, and then I'll say this, and I heard it all through the preseason last year, is how much they like Alec Anderson as well,
yep,
who can also play the center position, and he might be one of those guys that they're developing quietly who can step into that center position. I don't think it's a need tonight. Now, if he's a guy that you think can come in and be an 8 to 10 year starter, you know, that guy that's going to solidify that center position, and then you could potentially move or keep McGovern at guard. You could do that. And look, like I mentioned earlier, I trust Brandon Bean that they've done their due diligence. I haven't studied his film to say, hey, this is going to be the next guy that's going to step in and be your long-term answer at center. Are those guys worthy of a second-round grade or a second-round draft pick? Of course. But right now, as I see it, I think there's bigger needs on this team. I think you can get younger on the defensive side of the ball. There's positions that you could address, whether it's in the secondary, whether it's at defensive tackle or on the edge as a pass rusher. And then, of course, at the receiver position and just adding weapons around Josh, that would be more appealing to me at this point.
Would you rule out running back for them tonight? You think that's on the table?
I think it could be, but I think it would have to be a guy that could be more than just a true running back, because you have such great value in James Cook being young, what he proved he could do last year. You have Ty Johnson in that thumper role as well. So if you have a guy that can do some things out of the backfield as well, who could be dynamic in the pass game, it would surprise me to see them take, especially in the second round, a running back. But you never know in these situations.
Eric, what the hell is going on in your hometown of Cincinnati? Trey Hendrickson now wants out. You got T. Higgins' situation. They do draft an offensive tackle, Mims. I mean, what's going on over there? Is it as simple as, hey, this is an organization that we know has traditionally not been with the, you know, widest pocketbooks, and here we go, they had to pay the quarterback, so now other guys are going to get squeezed?
Yeah, some guys are getting squeezed, and it's interesting because Hendrickson, you know, I thought that forever, you know, I grew up a Bengals fan, and people ask me all the time, are you still a Bengals fan? And I'm like, no, I'm not a Bengals fan. I got drafted by the Bills, and I work for the Bills, and the better the Bengals do, it's generally not good for the Bills. So no, I am no longer a Bengals fan, but growing up, it was always amazing. A lot of times they're free agents, you know, they go swipe the guy that was I don't want to say a bust first rounder, but the guy who the other teams didn't want to re-sign. I thought Hendrickson was a great signing when they brought him in from New Orleans. In that same offseason, they brought in Reeder, they drafted Hubbard, and man, they put together a pretty good defensive line. But with the impact that Hendrickson has had over this kind of successful run over these last 2 or 3 years, you know, he's going to want to be paid like these top guys in the NFL, or the top guys at his position. And when you got Burrow, when you got Chase, Higgins is going to have to walk, and you have some star power there. Yeah, they are going to get squeezed. And the Brown family, as you mentioned, has not always been open to the, you know, convert to signing bonus where you can grab a little bit of cap money, cap room, but you're going to be, you know, the Pegulas are very willing to go spend as much money as possible to keep talent around, to let Brandon Bean have flexibility. That always has not been the case in Cincinnati, and I think you're starting to see it again.
Do you think the Bills should investigate in T. Higgins?
I think he would fit in very nicely. If they can bring him in, I mean, if you can add a 6'5" guy to that receiver group, he has the ability to stretch the field. I love the way he makes contested catches. I mean, you know, he's one of those guys where he's covered, but he's not based upon his length. He boxes out corners very well. I think he could be a great addition if the Bills could get him. I don't know how realistic. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes you get – maybe I'm putting more stock into this than is truly out there, where the Bengals aren't sitting there saying, hey, we're not going to deal them to the Bills because they're in the AFC and they're competing with us for a championship each year. And when you look around the quarterback landscape of the AFC, it's likely going to be, you know, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Buffalo, Houston now, Baltimore. Those are probably your five at the top for a while. Would they be willing to deal them to the Bills? I'm not quite sure about that.
Finally, Eric, I know that over the years you've been in Buffalo, you've gone to plenty of Sabres games. They rehire Lindy Ruff, the guy who was the coach when you got drafted to the Buffalo Bills. He was here for the first 3 years of your NFL career. Did you go to games back then? Did you ever get to know Lindy? Anything like that? What do you remember about that?
So 2009, when I broke my leg my rookie year, that period of time where I was rehabbing in Buffalo turned me into a big-time hockey fan. I had gotten to know a number of guys on the team prior to getting injured, and then when I got hurt, I had plenty of time to go to as many Sabres games as I'd like to, and the Bills had a suite, and so I would go to a bunch of Sabres games, and I would connect with Lindy at charity golf scrambles and whatnot, and always really enjoyed spending time with him. I'm excited to have him back, and I'm really hoping it works out for him because, to me, I just have a tremendous amount of respect for him. I'm actually going to go to my first playoff hockey game ever this weekend. I'm going down to Nashville on Sunday for a charity golf scramble on Monday. So I'm going to go to a Predators playoff game. But I've never been to, so I've been to plenty of regular season hockey games. I have watched playoff hockey on TV, which is one of the most fun sports, especially playoff time, to watch on TV. So I'm excited to take it in this weekend in person.
That's cool. Joe, that's cool. He's going to Nashville for a playoff game. I always see the
videos of the guys at the Predators game where they put them on the Jumbotron and they have them like chugging a beer. I don't think I'll get that treatment this week.
Was it Taylor Lewan? Someone like drank a beer out of a catfish. I'm pretty sure. Like that happened.
They had like the Tennessee Titans O-line there. They all had their shirts off. They had the fish and all that. I've heard Predators games are a ton of fun in general, but the fact that I get to go to the playoff game this weekend should be a lot of fun.
Kentucky Derby next weekend, right?
Kentucky Derby next weekend, oh, yeah. Wow. So we have a big few weeks in Louisville. So we have Kentucky Derby next weekend. 2 weeks later, we have the PGA Championship out of Valhalla. So I'll be hosting people for that as well. So, yeah, we got a busy few weeks coming up here.
Listen, I know you love where you live. I know you love Buffalo, too. But let's be honest. When your kids are out of the house, you and Leslie return to Nashville, aren't you? You love that city.
I do like Nashville. To me, though, it's not a climate change. Like, you know, right. You're driving 2 hours and 15, 2 hours and 30 minutes south. Like, I'm going to Florida. And I'm ready to get there. I already spent enough time down there in the winters now, so it works out. But, yeah, I would want more of a climate change.
I'm heading to Florida next weekend to play a little golf myself. What do you got going on Centered in Buffalo podcast or anything else you're doing?
Yeah, so Centered on Buffalo podcast, we'll try and get you, maybe me and you could chop it up again next week and break down the draft a little bit. We've had some serious star power on there. Let me give you a little prop, Sal. We've had some serious star power this offseason. We've had Brandon Bean. We've had Sean McDermott. We've had Aaron Cromer, Shakir. Just had Poyer on recently. And your episode on YouTube, besides, I think, Brandon Bean, which was right after the season, and people were really intrigued to see what he had to say, I think you were the top YouTube viewership.
Yeah, baby.
I got to give credit where credit's due.
Wow.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. And that's Centered on Buffalo. You got YouTube. You got it on audio and anywhere anybody can find it. Listen, man, thank you so much. I appreciate you doing this today. We'll hook up soon. Have fun at the Derby next week. We can't wait to hear all about it.
No, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right. You got it. Eric Wood right there. All right. Let's real quickly try to get to Jim in Rochester here. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hi, guys. I'm of the opinion, I guess, now along with Eric, that Bean's done the right thing. I was thinking the same thing once Thomas went off the board to Jacksonville. I'm pretty sure that was his last first-round receiver. And then he's like, you knew how upset he was when he lost that third-round compensatory. He really wanted the third. Kansas City gave him the third, which now gives him the opportunity to package 95 and 60 to go up after they take Mitchell at 33, which is a 4-3-4-6-3 dude. To me, he's probably, and people seem to be concerned about this number one tag, he's got number one written all over him. He doesn't drop the ball. He's got the low 4-3. He's the third fastest. So I'll take the third fastest, who's 6'2", 210 versus 5'10", 165 or whatever Worthy is, and he'll probably get blowed up in the preseason and not even play half the games. But anyway, but I think he's going to package those two, take Mitchell, and then package the two to come up and get hopefully maybe high 30s. I don't know what the trade tracker thing says there about what giving him 60, somebody 60 and 95 would do, how high we could get up, but maybe we'd end up with Mitchell and McConkey and everybody can relax.
Oh, man, they get Mitchell and McConkey. Yeah, thanks, Jim. That would be, you go into the draft, Joe. If you went into the draft and someone said they're going to come out with A.D. Mitchell and Ladd McConkey, I think you'd be pretty happy.
I think everybody would sign up for that. I, going into tonight, though, I am not thinking they're taking A.D. Mitchell. I don't know. I just, maybe.
Me too. I feel like that's not the case.
But I wonder about if red flags push him down further than we think. Like, this happened a couple years ago with George Pickens, where Pickens had a lot of hype coming into the draft, but there was some stuff, right, with him and, you know, attitude stuff from his time at Georgia, and he did fall a bit, right? Like, he was one of those last receivers that went in that run in the second round. He went after guys like Tyquan Thornton and Wendell Robinson, fell into the 50s, I think. So if Mitchell has, but he, same thing, he was a great athlete, you know, like star level catches. And Mitchell, like, if I wonder if we get a similar type of fall for him where, okay, he's available now in the middle of the second round. Did the Bills, do they have him off his board or do they knock a guy for some of that other stuff? I don't know that you have to take a guy off completely. So we'll see. Like, I wonder if that gets tested. And then I like McConkey too. The guy, though, I just saw Benjamin Albright tweeting about this, and I think this was out there. I just maybe forgot it. Troy Franklin from Oregon. Joe Brady recruited Franklin in high school. I think he said that at the combine, if I'm remembering right, but I had forgotten about this. And Franklin is like the big stats guy, plays the X, which the Bills have a need at receiver, that spot where you're up against the line, press coverage. He's a downfield threat, and he's not small like Worthy either. I mean, he ran a slower 40 than people thought, but we have Brandon Bean on record, and we mention it a lot, that he has said that he doesn't mind if a guy runs a slower 40 because sometimes that could push him down into their area.
Butch, I didn't mean to make you wait so long. You're just the last guy in the queue, but I'm interested in what you have to say. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for so much. Be real quick. First of all, I just wanted to say I applaud Brandon Bean and the staff for what they're doing. You know, when I watch the NFL draft all these years, I just don't focus on one position. I focus on all the talent. And in Buffalo, like you just said, Sal, earlier, along with Eric, because I got to say something about what Eric said as well, is that we have to replenish this roster with a lot of players we lost. We have to replenish this roster with youth, because this is going to be the first year, really, that Sean McDermott is actually going to have to play his rookies and his first-year players and his second-year players. So at the same time, on this chessboard moving forward, I'm not going to sit here and just keep talking wide receiver. I want to look at all of this good talent that's still out there in out of all the positions in the draft. Now, I'm saying that is, when I look at this at the 33 selection coming up, I really want Buffalo, and I don't know, maybe these two teams may have called Washington and Carolina. I look at Washington's 36 and 40 selection in the second round, and maybe if they want to move up, maybe Buffalo could get both of those positions along with, you know, let them have the 33 pick, moving back a little bit, but at the same time, staying in the window bracket of maybe getting two good quality players without somebody sliding in and beating you to it. At the same time, that's where I brought Carolina up. That 39 selection that you look at, they have in the second round, they got from Chicago. At the same time, maybe Brandon Bean can maybe move 60, give him 60, he take the 39, and maybe throw a fifth round next year or something else to them. Or a fifth round, sorry, this year to them to move back. They keep that bracket. Just like when people play deal or no deal, they talk about you in that bracket, you keep that bracket, and we can get some good quality players. There's some good players out here, man. And I'm letting you know, and I'm letting you go on this, though, Sal. So you even said the same thing. You said that Brandon Bean said in his office after talking to Joe Brady, we don't need a number one. And one thing about Brandon Bean, and you know this out more than anybody, he's a straight shooter. He tells you like he's a great guy. He knows what he's doing. And I say that. Now, last but not least, on Eric Wood, Eric, I understand what you said about when he asked you about Jackson Powers Johnson at center. I understand how you feel that you're saying we're kind of quality good at that position. But I remember back in 2009, my friend, I remember Buffalo went to Louisville and got you in the second round. So I'm going to say we can have a duplicate because JPJ is a good Eric Wood, a good Marvin Webster. Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, don't disrespect E. Wood as a first rounder there, but he was a first rounder.
First rounder? I thought he was.
That's right.
E. I'm sorry, E. Back me up.
You know what? Ironically, Butch, ironically, he was pick number 28, Eric Wood.
So, you know what? That's crazy. I'm sorry, Eric. When you see me, Eric, you can push me. You give me a push. But I love you guys, and thank you, man, for taking my call.
All right, you got it, Butch. Hope all is well with you, buddy. Have a great weekend. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. All right, Joe, let's do it. Let's talk about tonight. Set up your little big board or your big board there. Not your little big board. It's, I guess, a littler big board now. Let's run through, like, the best scenarios for you tonight. What you like, what you don't like. We'll do that when we come back here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Northtown Automotive, Extra Point Show.
This is a confounding move by the Buffalo Bills. How do you trade with a team that you cannot get past in the most important games of the year in the playoffs, and you give them the wide receiver they so desperately want, and your team, as you indicated, has lost multiple starting wide receivers? In fact, last year, Buffalo had five different wide receivers with 20-plus targets. Four of the five are no longer with the team. On top of that, they traded Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis left via free agency. Only Khalil Shakir is the one who remains.
That's Warren Sharp. Does a lot of really sharp football analysis. No pun intended, that's what it's actually called. He didn't like the move for the Buffalo Bills. A lot of fans didn't like the move for the Buffalo Bills, but I think Brandon Bean used solid reasoning and logic in explaining. And again, when I hear something like that, just to circle back everything from last night and to bring it back to where we started today. When I hear something like that, Joe, when I hear someone like Warren Sharp say, how do you trade with that team and give them that receiver? The answer lies in, they didn't give them the receiver. They said, we're not taking him anyway, so if they want him, they're going to get him. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. So you could be upset thinking, well, you shouldn't trade with the Chiefs no matter what, have a blanket rule. That's fine because they are the Chiefs and you have this scar tissue and you think. But if it gets to you gave them Xavier Worthy, there's nothing the Bills could do with Xavier Worthy and the Chiefs once the Bills decided they didn't want him.
Well, they could trade with someone else.
But that doesn't mean that team's taking him.
But you could ask them.
The Bills wouldn't know that, I'm saying.
You could ask them if they're going to take Worthy or you could
They would
just
not
take
tell
Worthy.
You. Brandon Bean has said that. He said teams don't do that.
I just think it's baked in a little bit there, even what Sharp is saying. Like, why aren't we? This is one answer we don't get. Why don't you want Worthy? Like, what is it about him that has the Chiefs loving him and you don't? Because that's one way they don't get him. If you have a close enough evaluation of that player to what Kansas City does, then they don't get their guy. Like, they're lucky, I guess, in a way, because the Bills are just as desperate at receiver, if not more. than they are. The Chiefs are lucky that the Bills don't have the same evaluation of Worthy. That's maybe the biggest threat to them not getting their guy, but it didn't line up. And I think with receiver coming in, and we've kind of, I think I've been talked into Worthy more and more over the weeks that he's a more complete player than just the 40 time. And you get to the night, and then, okay, there he is, and they don't pick him. And again, Bean's not going to tell you exactly why, so you're just kind of left in the dark. Like, what was it that had the Chiefs loving him so much more than you did?
That's right. And look, I like Worthy, right? I mocked him to the Bills. I've been telling you for the last week, this guy fits everything they've been talking about. I mean, he's run after catch, ball in his hands, all that kind of stuff. He's a punt returner. He's exactly the fit. But it's certainly possible that Brandon Bean just and his staff just don't feel he's going to be a good NFL player. Like, yeah, we're okay with giving Kansas City, like, if they want to take him, we'll stop him. Like, we don't think he's going to be that good. It's certainly possible. Because so you're right. We're not going to know that. We're not going to know what they didn't like about him to say, we don't care. And if Kansas City gets him, we don't care. Tonight, have you thought about Cooper DeJean at 33 and what you would think if they did that?
I have. Because we talked about him a little bit earlier this morning. He is, by the way, do we know, is it DeJean or DeJean? I think I've been hearing both, but DeJean maybe the
I
more.
Believe it's DeJean, okay. But I am holding out the fact that I'm still okay with if someone tells me it's not and it's the other way.
Yeah. So he's not my favorite idea at all. I mean, I want them to pick a receiver tonight, and I want them to do it twice and start off the draft with it in round two. But he's definitely possible. I hear you about the Hyde comparison. They went to the same school, right? And what McDermott likes in a defensive back. The thing that I don't love is what is his role going to be early on? Because he can do a lot of different things in theory, but I looked, and I think the reason, by the way, that he's being talked about as a safety is NFL teams are putting it out there. Like, I looked up, what I looked up first was, okay, let me look. Like, what did he play at Iowa? What did he play more of? How much at each? And I looked, and I was startled to see that in his entire career at Iowa, he played a single snap at safety. One.
Yeah, he's not really a college safety. He's a corner in college.
Right. He played two snaps at wide receiver, and he only played one at safety. He played over 1,100 at cornerback on the outside, and then 168 at slot. So this guy at Iowa was used primarily in the spot that you're going to see Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. But why is it out there that he could play different positions? There were a bunch of reports that I found after I saw the stats. Like, okay, well then what is it? And there are a lot of reports that teams think that he's a better fit in the NFL for playing the safety position and can bump down into nickel position. So teams believe that he can adjust to that. And I would say if there is a position that you are going to switch to in the NFL, going from corner to safety probably is one of the easier ones, if not even the easiest one to get a hold of. But the reason I don't love it is because I just don't think he's going to do a lot for you right away. You've said about, they made the point about the Bills and young safeties, how they just don't play him. But on top of that, I only have a young safety. I have a guy that hasn't really done it before. So how long before I am going to feel comfortable with him playing that position at that age when he hasn't really done it? I just feel like that could be a player that doesn't make a much of an impact for me in year one. And that, in addition to the position he plays, I think is spooking me.
Yeah, that's a really, those are all valid points. I've said over the years, there's been guys who've come into this league who I've said, he's a guy you can kind of put anywhere. He doesn't have a true position, but you can put him anywhere.
That does feel like this
guy.
And
then there's guys that have come in and I've said, he doesn't have a true position and he really doesn't. You know, he doesn't fit in one specific spot, and you have a tough time putting him. For me, that was like a Peppers. Like, Peppers, he's been okay, Jabril Peppers. I never thought he'd really excel at any one position.
Is,
you know what I mean?
Who's the other guy? Isaiah Simmons for this, right?
Yes, yes, right. Bean talked about Cooper DeJean. I'm still looking at trying to go to Iowa football, actually, to see the pronunciation guide. I can't find one right now. But Bean talked about him last week and even said whoever uses him can kind of move him around. Yeah. He does remind me of like that kind of skill set. Micah Hyde type of skill set. The Bills do like those guys. But I agree with that point. And I've said it's hard for me to see a guy playing safety early on. Agreed with you. And Joe, they're not putting him at corner. I've been convinced for a while. The Bills are not drafting over Christian Benford. They're just not going to happen. And Rasul Douglas is starting, obviously. I think it's a wasted pick to go corner that early. Now we are in the second round. But that's an indictment then on what they feel about Benford, let alone Kyrie Elam, which obviously they may not feel very strongly about him. All right, what about the wide receivers? We'll talk about them, the options available. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Extra Point Show on day number two, Friday of the NFL Draft.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right. Jim in Rochester. Go ahead, Jim. You got about 1 minute. Wanted to squeeze you in here. Go ahead, buddy.
In the next with these next few picks, but the one thing I noticed they didn't say, and I don't know if he would say it, was that they counteroffered to try and get a sweeter deal. That's what bugs me, and that, maybe he doesn't reveal that, but it just seems like the two teams that they have ties with, Kansas City from Reed and Carolina, they probably could have got an extra pick even if it's late. And I didn't hear him say anything about any type of counteroffer that they rejected.
I'm sure it's a negotiation. I mean, you know, he said talks started for three or four picks before that, and you know that Brian Gain was on the phone with them. So I'm sure they're going back and forth on that. He doesn't have to reveal every detail of it, of course, but I'm sure they're going back and forth. So yeah, I got it, Jim. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, Joe. All right, I just looked up the way to pronounce it, and I found an interview at the Combine. Mike Florio welcomes in Cooper DeJean, and he does not correct him.
Okay, Cooper DeJean. All right, I'll roll DeJean. With that.
DeJean, and that's not even, it's not even a J, it's an actually J sound. DeJean, he called him.
All right, so Joe, maybe we'll need to know that.
Yeah, that we might. 33. But let's say it's not. Let's say it's a wide receiver. Here we go, Joe DiBiase. Mm-hmm. Give me your rankings of who you like best and you're comfortable with the Bills taking tonight in what order at wide receiver.
All right. I think I would go Troy Franklin number one. I would go Ladd McConkey number two. Then I would probably just personally go Adonai Mitchell number three, despite the fact I really don't think they would do it, but you never know. I would go Mitchell three. And then it would really want it to be one of those three for the first pick. But beyond that, I would get to Jalen Polk probably, and then Javon Baker. I would say that's my top five. I would not have Keon Coleman in there, despite the fact that he's usually ranked, I think, higher than a couple of those guys.
Okay. I will go Ladd McConkey number one. I would think that he would be. To me, I really like Ladd. I think Troy Franklin would be my number two. So I'm just going to flip those two. You had Franklin one, Ladd two.
Okay, yep.
And then it's Javon Baker for me.
Nice.
Yep. UCF. I like him next. And then it's Keon Coleman. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't think he fits and checks all the boxes that we talk about all the time with the Bills that they've talked about. But the guy can play. He's still got a lot of great attributes. So he would be next for me. And then after that, Polk, you know. And I don't know a lot about this guy, but I'm going to trust my guy, Emory Hunt. He loves Malachi Corley, by the way, at Western Kentucky. And maybe he's a guy. I'm not a big A.D. Mitchell fan. I guess I could put him up there in that group. After Baker, I'd put him in there somewhere with that group. You know, so, you know, I'd be okay. You know, if the again, I always try to remember. I don't know all the info on these guys. The teams do, but those three would be my guys. Ladd.
Yeah.
Troy Franklin and Baker.
Quickly, this guy is worth mentioning. I don't think the Bills would be the team to take him, but Jermaine Burton from Alabama, who never had a drop in his career, like really good stuff from him at Alabama. I've seen certain things written about him where like he would have been a first round pick, like middle of the first round, if it wasn't for teams just want nothing to do with this dude. Like, just whatever questions there are about Mitchell, it feels like they're a lot more concrete with Burton.
NFL draft coverage rolls on tonight. Starts at 7 o'clock. We'll have it here for you on WGR. Sabres live up next, then One Bills live, show up in the Bulldog. Have a great weekend, everyone. It continues with the NFL draft here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.